This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food. Of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Good afternoon, this is Health and Living, I'm Lee Chui Lin. An Australian fitness model made headlines this week when she shared photos and videos of herself kickboxing and performing deadlifts at 37 weeks pregnant. Chantel Duncan says that she's documenting her pregnancy because it seems that we are misled to believe that we are more fragile than we really are. Indeed, pregnant women are often treated with great care and protection. With every move she makes, it's you can't do this or you can't do that, sit down. What can she really do when it comes to her health and fitness? And in terms of her fitness, what can she expect when she's expecting? Karen Sia today returns with the goods on what's safe and what's not for pregnant women and postpartum mothers who are keeping fit or getting back in shape. Joining her to share her prenatal and postnatal fitness journey is Hui Matthews. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, everyone.
Let's get it out of the way. What literature is there to prove that it's safe for women to exercise during and after pregnancy?
There are actually a lot of scientific research and scientific literature out there for and against exercise during pregnancy. But if you check, you check out websites that are reliable, things like World Health Organization and things like that, you can actually find that if you read more into it, there are actually a lot of good benefits that come from exercise when you're pregnant and after you've given birth.
Hui, you know, earlier we talked about how, in the intro was pregnant women are told, okay, you know, you have to take care now, you have to sit down, you have to rest more. Was that something that you experienced personally when you first found out you were pregnant?
Yes, I would say that, you know, a lot of people are obviously concerned for your health and the baby's health. And, you know, you never want to do anything that you look back on and say, oh no, maybe because I did that, that this affected the baby. In saying that, I sort of had three rules that I stuck to, right? You don't, whenever you exercise, you don't want to dehydrate, you don't want to overheat, and you don't want to risk pushing your heart rate too high. And there are enough doctors who are friends or family around me to make sure that, you know, I stuck to doing the right things and taking care of myself and the baby inside of me. But I would say, especially, you know, in Asian countries, people do tend to err on the cautious side, but I do think that there are a lot of benefits of staying fit and active when you're pregnant.
What are some of those benefits?
For starters, I didn't have any swelling in my feet. Yes, some days it was harder to wake up and have the energy to exercise. But I would say that throughout the pregnancy, I barely had any hiccups. I obviously toned down the level of activity that I did. And I think that helped overall. I didn't have any morning sickness either. So I don't know whether that's attributed to genetics or to staying fit and active. And definitely it helps with post-delivery recovery and getting back into shape. Yeah.
Yeah, because Hui is someone who's very active, so all these things kind of helps her to, you know, make use of the energy that she naturally has already as a person. So exercise helps you to improve your mood. Yeah. She's so used to being active, so obviously carrying on being active is a good thing. Mm. There's a lot of other complications that come with pregnancies. One of them is gestational diabetes, which happens quite often. So that exercise can also help to curb that, or at least to control that.
Yeah.
What changes in terms of exercise routine and energy levels when a woman is pregnant? Hui, perhaps you could tell us, what were you doing before? And then once you found out and you had to kind of scale it down and be more careful, what did you do then?
Yeah, so actually, funnily enough, the last race I did was with Karen in Kamensa, and we did about a 45-kilometer race. I was cramping for more than half of the race, and then a week later found out that I was pregnant, which is probably why, because I never cramp during a race. Obviously, I wouldn't recommend doing a trail race or any race while you're pregnant.
No.
But definitely in the first trimester, I toned it way down. I didn't do any running. I still continued yoga. But, you know, first trimester is usually the riskiest period where, you know, I think at least 20% of pregnancies end in miscarriages. So you want to be very careful in that first trimester. Second trimester, I got back into more jogging and running and hikes. Third trimester, continued with the running, but in the last 2 months, I sort of did mainly walks. I still continued yoga right up until 37 weeks, but obviously guided by an instructor and never on my own. And I would say a lot of strengthening exercises do help your inner thighs, your legs, your core, everything. You do need to alter that a bit, and I think Karen has a good series of strengthening exercises that really help with those as well.
Karen, when somebody comes to see you, or rather when you have somebody who's already working with you and then they go, okay, great news, you know, bun in the oven, what kind of adjustments would you make?
First of all, I need to see how fit this person is. So I've had cases like that before where this person has been training with me not so regularly for a couple of months, and then suddenly she comes and tells me, I'm pregnant now, so I need to inform you to let you know. And then, so what I do is, and make sure that it doesn't go way overboard from what she's used to. But also I try to come up with a more routine training program for her. So I need to emphasize on the fact that she needs to see me routinely and not hit and miss one time come, 1-2 weeks don't come, that kind of thing. These are things that they need, because when you're pregnant, that 9 months is it may seem like a long time, but it's actually not that long a time. But a lot of changes are happening in that time. And so I would say some level of discipline is very important to make sure that everything goes on smoothly and you're gaining the strength and the fitness in an appropriate speed or appropriate rate.
Yeah. We're talking about fitness and pregnancy today, or, you know, how much exercise you can actually do. If you've got any questions on staying fit during pregnancy or just fitness, pregnancy in general, send them through. You can text 016-201-9000. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. One thing about discipline is that even with regular fitness, it can be hard. You know, there are days, like looking out the window right now, I don't think a lot of people are, you know, very excited about hitting the track somewhere and running. You know, some days it just makes you feel like you want to stay in. And when you are pregnant and feeling that dip in energy, when should you listen to your body and say, okay, today maybe I just need to stay home and, you know, relax? And when do you know, okay, no, today I need to push through?
I think what you said, listening to the body, that is key. You need to know how you're feeling that day, whether you think you're up for it. And like what Hui said, you know, you don't want to go overboard being dehydrated or pushing your heart rate up too high. So these are things you can try. You can go out and try. And if you just don't feel like you're 100% that day, then it's okay to turn around and go back and just cut the whole thing short. Discipline is definitely an issue with everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're pregnant or not, man or woman, old or young. But I think, and maybe you can testify to this, when you have a baby that is growing in you, you kind of take yourself out of the picture and like, you're doing this for another person. You're doing this for the baby inside of you. So maybe that self-sacrifice thing will help you with the discipline. What does Hui have to say?
I would say, I mean, when there were one or two occasions where I opted not to go for yoga or not to go for a walk, and those were mainly if I had any abdominal pain or discomfort. So I would wait. If that passed, then maybe I would do another workout session during the week. So it is difficult to motivate yourself, and I would definitely prioritize more sleep over exercise on certain days. And I think, you know, just having friends around you that you've agreed to go on a walk with helps motivate you and wake up in the morning. Yeah.
Karen, what are the common issues that your pregnant or postpartum clients raise with you in terms of their fitness?
Well, one thing is definitely they lose a lot of their stamina, and they're sad because they're out of shape. And that is, for women, that is a very big thing. Whenever they don't feel happy with the way they look, they definitely don't feel happy with a lot of things. So one thing is definitely their cardiovascular fitness. Their stamina would definitely go down because they probably, especially in the last trimester, they don't do a lot of stuff because they're too big, too heavy, and they've got backache and things like that. So they really toned down a lot more during the last trimester. Mm. So climbing back from, it's just like having an injury, a sports person with an injury, and they've not done any sort of training for 3 months. That's definitely going to bring down your fitness. So that, and of course, being sad and mildly depressed about the way they look. So these are also things that it's a concern for us PTs as well, to try and make sure that they are making progress. Little bit by little bit, they are making progress.
Yeah, I would say getting used to having a big belly was one of the huge challenges. And, you know, obviously when you're out in the trails exercising and people see you with a huge belly, they're like, are you sure you should be doing this? But then there's the, I don't know, the 50-60% who really cheer you on, or strangers who get, hey, good on you that you're still up and about and you're being fit and active. Yeah.
When you were doing yoga, how did you adjust to the shape of your body changing? Because I would assume that that would throw off balance. It would throw off, you know, just where you would put your weight and things like
definitely.
That.
I would say that number one, you need to have a very good instructor. You need someone who you've already been going to. I mean, whether it's a PT or a yoga instructor, you need to be familiar with them, and they will alter the poses for you, or you can choose and opt to go for prenatal yoga classes. So I was very fortunate to have a very good yoga instructor, Chin Lai, who he sort of would give me options for every pose that everyone else did. He would modify it so that we're not compressing anything around the belly and the abdomen area. And there were some poses where he would tell me, you sit this one out. So you need to be surrounded by people who know what they're doing. Yep.
We're talking about fitness and pregnancy today with Karen Sia, personal trainer, and Hui Matthews, a fitness activewear designer who is on her own prenatal fitness journey. So we're kind of having two different perspectives here. If you would like to send us a question about fitness and pregnancy, do text us. That number is 016-201-9000. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we talk about safety. You are listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're still here. Good. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me, Karen Sia and Hui Matthews. We're talking about fitness and pregnancy today. If you've got any questions, feel free to send them our way. That number to text is 016-201-9000. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. It goes without saying, of course, that safety comes first. That's something that really I feel silly even saying it. What are the safety issues specific to pregnant and postpartum women who are exercising?
Now, when you're pregnant, you get a lot of hormonal change in your body. These things, one of the issues that I'm concerned with is basically it loosens a lot of your joints, so your hip joint, pelvic, some of your knee joint and stuff also gets a little bit of this hormone. It also loosens up. So when you do exercise, any form of exercise, even if you've done squats all your life, you want to be very careful when you're doing these things. That is why it's quite important to have an instructor or someone that you trust, someone that you've been working with to kind of watch what you're doing all the time. Of course, you want to keep your body temperature at a suitable level, because when you have a baby in you, your core temperature goes up very high, very fast, and your baby will be affected. So lots of water, stay hydrated all the time. One rule that I learned when I was studying this training pregnant mums was that you want to make sure that you are not hyperventilating, because when you are gasping for air, most likely your baby's not getting enough oxygen as well, so you don't want to work yourself out to that point. Yeah,
I think for when I was trying to figure out the whole working out thing while being pregnant, I mean, those three things are very important. You stay hydrated, you know, you don't overheat, and you need to watch your heart rate. So I actually got a heart rate monitor when in the second trimester when I started running again. So there are lots of guidance on heart rates, and it obviously depends on your fitness level before. So I would make sure that mine wouldn't go anywhere past 150 or 160. But if you don't usually usually run and you know, certain level of fitness, you should be aiming for lower ranges. The other thing I would say to watch out for is, yes, it's that hormone progesterone which is responsible for everything loosening up. And another key thing is that your back arches back more to make space for your belly. So back pain is very common in pregnant women. I experienced that in my lower right back, but I made sure I went to see a physio. They advised me on, you know, posture, stretches, and even strengthening as well, which did fix the problem as well.
Hui, you were already somebody with a pretty, I think safe to say, pretty decent level of fitness prior to getting pregnant. But some people might never have exercised before, or maybe their idea of exercise is going for a run once a week, you know, and that's kind of the week's exercise. Yeah. And then suddenly they get pregnant and they realize, okay, no, now I have to get fit. Mm-hmm. How different would that be for them? I mean, perhaps you could both weigh in on this. How different would it be if you're starting from a base level fitness of that isn't that great?
Yeah. I think I would recommend, you know, at least maybe going for a walk once or twice a week, even if you start with 15 minutes, 20, 30 minutes, or if you tried a more low impact sport like swimming. I did try that for the first month, and then I think water just isn't my thing. So then I stuck back to what I was comfortable with. So yeah, I mean, you can go for walks very easily. I think the only thing that might stop you is the haze. And then in that situation, you probably want to, you know, find a gym or a treadmill indoors and just give it a go.
What if you've been told that you need to lose weight during your pregnancy, and so you might never have been the kind of person who did strenuous exercise before, but now in your head it's like, okay, no, the only way to lose weight is to exercise really hard. You know, Karen, what would you say to somebody who's thinking that they might need to step it up?
That has happened before, again, with all the different levels of hormones going in and out of your body. Gestational diabetes does cause weight gain as well. So in situations like that, my advice is, of course, to speak with a fitness professional. But I think the main thing here, especially if you have not been someone very fit prior to getting pregnant, if you have a very sedentary lifestyle prior to that, don't jump straight onto a very intense fitness regime. What you want to do is watch what you eat first. Maybe that is what you need to look at first. So again, look for a dietitian, nutritionist, or a fitness professional that can help you with what you eat, or even someone who has been pregnant before, has had a baby, and you know, you can talk to people like this, because first-hand experience is always always what you look for. And then, yeah, watch what you eat. That could definitely, that 70% of your fitness, you know, you want to make good nutritional choices in your daily meals.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think I had the reverse problem. So my belly looked very, very small until the last sort of month, and people were concerned. They're like, you know, you're not eating enough, you know, you're not putting on enough weight. But obviously, you know, you then go back to your gynae and they can gauge, you know, professionally what sort of weight margins you should be in, whether you should be putting more or less. I think in total, I put on about 12 kilograms. And even then, my belly looked still very small, and people were thinking that the baby would be very small, but she ended up coming out at 3.25 kilograms, which is a little bit above average. So, I mean, nutrition plays a big part. I still watched what I ate, but made sure I ate enough as well. I obviously did have cheat days, you know, have a quarter pounder every 2 or 3 weeks, or, you know, a bit of chocolate. And you know, you just, I think it's important also to not be stressed. I think stress plays a big role, and being stressed also can affect your baby in your belly.
We can't talk about pregnancy without mentioning the pelvic floor. One of the most controversial topics is the Kegel versus no Kegels debate. Medical professionals still recommend Kegels exercises during pregnancy. Okay, so first, could you explain what Kegels are?
Okay, so Kegel is a pelvic floor muscle exercise. It's usually prescribed to anybody, not just people who are pregnant. It's emphasized on for people who are pregnant, but it's prescribed to even men, everybody. And what you do is you're trying to contract your pelvic floor muscles. One way of doing that is to imagine holding in your pee. If you need to go and use the toilet and you can't find a toilet, you want to hold it in. So that is contracting. That is a Kegel exercise.
Why is it recommended? Why do people perform Kegel?
It is recommended to at first it's recommended on the basis that they think that a lot of women especially have very weak pelvic floor muscles. And there's also the old wives' tale where they say, oh, you know, if you don't strengthen your pelvic floor muscles, your baby might fall out. But unless you are born with a certain condition that you actually have very weak pelvic floor muscles, or if you've had a baby before that also tends to weaken or overstretch your pelvic floor muscles, then it is encouraged for you to do it. But apart from that, from my understanding, from my own research, everybody has generally pretty good pelvic floor muscles already. And, you know, just a little bit of extra work just to keep it in check, not overdoing it.
Yeah, I mean, my gynae definitely recommended that, you know, I do that, especially post-pregnancy. But obviously, you wait till, you know, enough healing has taken place, then you can start your Kegel exercises to make sure that, you know, when people say you sneeze and you pee in your pants, like, that's basically what you want to do to prevent that.
Yeah.
Besides the pelvic floor, what other areas are there that pregnant women should strengthen and pay special interest to?
I would say lower body, especially if someone is of quite a small frame, carrying that weight. I've seen women who are very small size and they get pregnant and they get a lot of lower back pain, a lot of lower body pain. So if they are in that boat, then I would say a lot of lower body exercises, correct lower body exercises to make sure that they get strength in their legs, their lower back, their glutes especially. It will help them in the whole pregnancy and during delivery as well.
Yeah. What are some exercises, for instance, that you would put your pregnant clients through?
It depends on how fit they already are, but I would recommend things like lunges, some light weights. So I wouldn't go anything above, say, 8 pounds or, you know, 4 or 5 kilos of dumbbells or anything like that. And just do simple deadlifts for the lower back. Lunges and squats are good as well. They have to watch their stance though in this exercise to make sure they're not opening their legs up too wide, things like that. Try to avoid sit-ups and crunches because we don't want to actually tighten up the core muscle too much because that's going to expand during the pregnancy. So we have something called an isometric core exercise, things like the plank, where you're not actually performing a crunch, you're actually just holding on to it, so that keeps your core muscles strengthened enough. And then a lot of just lower back exercises, like yoga is very good for that.
I wanted to ask about that. So with yoga, if I've never done yoga before, but now I keep getting told, oh, it's good for you, it's good for you. Is it a good time to start when you're pregnant? I mean, in one sense, I guess you'll be more flexible. Things are a bit looser.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's a totally new thing that you're trying to kind of get going.
I would recommend then finding prenatal yoga classes so that you know that these guys are trained specifically to handle and coach pregnant women. So they're a lot more careful and focused on working on a pregnant body as opposed to just any other person.
Yeah.
We've been focused a lot on what happens before you give birth. Now moving on to what happens after. What are the most challenging aspects to getting fit after childbirth?
I would say right now, because I'm experiencing all of that, my baby's now 3 months exactly. So I only started exercising probably after 2 months. I wanted to give my body enough time to recover. And I also did lose a lot of blood during the delivery. So I needed to wait till my hemoglobins returned to normal before I started any exercise. I guess the first thing is that it just feels so daunting. You're still trying to get used to being a mother, getting used to your baby's routine. And if you decide to go back to work after a month, you've got so much more that's happening at home. So the biggest challenge is actually time and finding someone to look after the baby while you're out. And then secondly, wondering, do all my different parts still work? You know, are things stretched out? Are things going to be painful? Like, so it is very daunting physically, mentally and everything. But I've been very lucky to have very good support at home and even with my husband. So I mix it up between me sneaking out for quick runs and coming back. But I started with walking at first. And then now that my baby's 3 months and she's had a few of her vaccinations, I do take my baby with me on my hikes. So at least then, you know, I'm not not worried about rushing back home to feed her, to take care of her. But I would say don't pressure yourself too much. Give yourself a lot of time to recover. And I'm not even focusing on you know, trying to get back to where I was before being pregnant. Yeah.
You spoke of it being daunting. How did you overcome that feeling, you know, that fear of like, I don't know if I can do this, and set out for that first walk, which became, you know, your first run?
Yeah, so the first walk that I ever did was just two loops around my housing area, which was barely 2 kilometers, and I just walked it. And then I just wanted to gauge whether I felt dizzy, did I feel really tired afterwards, and I was okay. So then a week later, I went for a hike, but I went with my mother-in-law so that she could keep pace, and in case anything happened, you know, there was someone there. I only started running maybe about 2-3 weeks back. And even then, you know, I make sure the people there with me, Karen went with me in one of my runs as well. So it is pretty daunting, and still, you know, I'm not sure how much I can push myself. But I guess then the rule is to not push to that 100%, maybe push to about 60 or 70% and set yourself slight improvement goals every time, but don't rush to go back to what you were doing before.
How are you feeling, you know, now that you've kind of, now that you're trying to get back to a routine of sorts?
Yeah, I think I feel pretty good. I feel that I've been able to do a lot more than I expected to. Obviously, I would love to be able to sign up for races, but, you know, logistically that's a challenge, but also I don't know if I even have enough time to train for that while looking after the baby. I think there's still a lot more that I want to do. I haven't even started Muay Thai back again, but that's something I think I'll give myself another couple of months. But there's a lot of encouragement, and when people see you coming back as well, it's very exciting. It's very happy. You're kind of like seeing old friends again. It's great.
Karen, earlier you spoke about how one of the things that people kind of have to work around is not feeling happy with how they look. And that's something that really comes to the fore post-pregnancy, because while you're pregnant, you know, you have a baby. Nobody's allowed to say anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, after that, people start... It's partly the society we live in. It's also partly magazines.
Yeah.
You know, you see celebrity mothers going back to, oh, they're pre-baby weight and so on. What sets celebrity mothers apart? You know, what can regular mothers, people who don't have access to personal training 24/7, for example, really expect after delivery?
It's a simple rule. One thing that I learned was that we are told to tell our clients, and I think this is very true, it takes you 9 months to go up to that weight, so it's going to take you about 9 months to come back down. So what Hui said is very, very accurate. You need to give yourself a lot of time to recover. Everybody has a different delivery. Some go through C-section, some go through natural birth, some lose a lot of blood, some have fuss-free labor, fuss-free delivery, you know.
1 hour and out.
Yeah, and out. And then, you know, 1 week later, they can go out bouncing again. But, you know, it's really different, and every individual has their own ups and downs, own problems that they need to look into. So I think, first of all, stop looking at beauty magazines.
Yeah.
That would be the first thing. These people, you have no idea what sort of thing they go through. They probably may take some very drastic measures to get to where they are. We will never know. But just as long as you find happiness and just like what Hui said, little small improvement goals, and you get there eventually. Again, watching your diet would be good, because when you get depressed, there's a lot of depressed binging that happens. Plus, people say, oh, you need to eat more. Again, a lot of old wives' tales would say that you need to eat more stuff that keeps you warm, or a heaty stuff, so that you know, you gain back all the strength and everything. But you actually don't really need to eat that much more during your pregnancy, and also while you're breastfeeding. You definitely just eat as usual, watch your diet, eat healthily. If you are ever in doubt, talk to your gynae or talk to a nutritionist or a dietitian.
Yeah, actually, if I could add on that, I think during pregnancy, I was quite disappointed to learn that you're not actually eating for two.
No.
Yeah, the extra calories that you need are equivalent of like a bowl of muesli or an extra sandwich a day. But obviously, if you're hungry, you eat. You know, and even post-pregnancy, like right now, you don't want to cut down what you're eating because I'm trying to fully breastfeed my baby. And so you don't want to cut down on nutrition that your body needs to produce milk as well as to repair your body. So I would say that you shouldn't be looking to cut down your food, but you just focus on eating healthily as well. And even with, you know, going out and exercising, you don't know how that changes your body, your breast milk, how your baby reacts to your body after you've done a whole lot of sweating. So it's a lot of trial and error, and there's still so many things you're trying to get used to and comfortable with. So yeah, you do really need to listen to your body as well. And, you know, running with, I don't know if this is a bit crude to say online, but running with breasts that are producing milk is a whole different experience to what it was before. So you also need to give yourself time to get used to all of these things.
With so many different concerns, you know, I'm still wrapping my head around the last thing you said. With so many different concerns playing around, was weight gain and weight loss an issue for you? Was that something you were thinking of?
To be honest, apart from weighing in during my regular checkups with the gynae, I didn't really weigh myself. I don't have a weighing scale at home. And even now, I'm not actively tracking how my weight is reducing. I think I'm more concerned with making sure that my baby gets fed and that my body's producing enough milk, that I feel healthy and stronger. And it's not even about fitting into clothes or whatever it is. I think the biggest thing that it does for me is that I do get more energy when I go out and exercise. And when I do bring my baby and I see how happy she is being outdoors, looking around at the leaves and everything, and just enjoy being in that environment, I think that for me is the biggest reward than anything else.
Of course, being a mother to a newborn also consumes a lot of time, you know, especially if you are trying to fully breastfeed your child. Yeah. What advice would you have for mothers trying to make time for their own health and fitness? And here I would say that there are two categories. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people like yourself who are accustomed to building exercise into their day to a certain extent. And then there are people who are realizing once they have a baby, oh, actually, I want to live a very long time and now's the time to start exercising.
I think for me, what I've done in these past 3 months is I have a bit of an agreement with my husband. So at first it was, okay, he'll run on maybe Saturdays, and then I will run on Sunday mornings. And then now I've started bringing the baby along so that I can have an extra day of exercising as well. I think, yeah, if you build your baby into your workout routines, it definitely helps. I've started to put some videos on my Instagram page. So I've started doing sort of leg raises with her. It keeps her calm. And then that way I can do my workout as well. Or doing squats while you hold your baby at home definitely helps. Or even just getting any regular stroller and going for a walk in the park with your baby if you can't find help. I think because that's always the biggest challenge, to find someone to mind your baby while you're out as well. So yeah, these are just some of the little things that I've been testing out with to see what works. And obviously, you know, sometimes you don't even know if your baby's going to like being in the pram or like being in a carrier while you go hiking. So you just have to try out and see what works for you and your baby.
Is it also a matter of kind of distributing exercise across your day as opposed to finding a dedicated workout hour? Because I think many of us are used to, okay, like now I'm going to exercise, no one disturb me for an hour or an hour and a half. But when you have a baby, you don't really have that kind of luxury.
Yes, definitely. So that's, you know, if you have 5 or 10 minutes, you can fit in 20 squats and 20 lunges with your baby, or, you know, 10 leg raises. So I guess if you have at the back of your mind, okay, I have this amount of time, these are the three things that I can try and fit in. And then I suppose if you're staying at home for now, being in workout clothes all day really does help. So you can just seize that moment at any time of the day.
Karen, if you had to generalize, what is a routine you'd design for somebody who is, you know, postpartum and wanting to get back to full force?
Okay, first of all, let's start with a bit of cardio. Just to test and see how good or how bad this person's cardio has gone down to. So walking or a bit of jogging, depending on that person's fitness level. Not too much, just maybe 15 to 20 minutes. And then I would do a lot of work on upper body, because this person would definitely need to be carrying the baby a lot. And upper back, upper body. So a lot of strenuous up and down movements is going to happen. So a lot of that. And then maybe lunges and squats just to keep the lower body strength in check as well. And then we'll end it with Kegels and then stretching.
When would you start to up it? When would you start to add different fitness goals into that regime and maybe get them back to where they were before, or just, you know, in general, up their fitness?
Usually I'll talk to the client, and if the client seems that, you know, whatever that we're currently doing is already too easy and they want to move on further, then we'll go up. But it really depends. Again, every individual is different. Some people, that sort of routine is already too much. Some people, they say, okay, that's too easy, let's bump it up. So very gradual. The key is to make the progress very, very gradual. Maybe check in month by month to see whether or not we can actually do more.
Overall, Hui, how do you handle comments, you know, when you're exercising, when you're pregnant? Specifically, I guess, if imagining that you were in a gym and, you know, you might get unsolicited advice, yeah. You might get comments. It's all very confusing. How would you suggest women handle that?
I think at the end of the day, you have to recognize that everyone is doing it out of concern for you. And I've had my fair share of people saying, you know, you shouldn't be running, you shouldn't be standing on that chair, or you shouldn't be doing this or that. And or no, you shouldn't be going, you know, hiking because their mountain bike is rushing down and things like that. And I guess you just have to smile and say thank you. And if you personally know your boundaries, what you can and should or shouldn't be doing, and you're confident about that. And, you know, I always do tell people, bring a friend with you, you know, so that someone is there to help you out just in case anything happens. And if not for yourself, it puts everyone else around you at ease as well.
How do you handle the body image issue during pregnancy? We've talked around it, but for people who really are very unhappy with the weight gain, really are very unhappy with the bloating, with, you know, everything that's going on, or maybe just hate getting confused for being fat when in fact they're pregnant, you know, that sort of classic problem. How do you handle that?
I think in the first place, you need to really sit down and get to the bottom of why is it that they feel so unhappy. Is it just because of that? Or is it due to the fact that they may say, yeah, it's because I look so fat, blah, blah, blah. But it could actually go deeper than that. It could actually mean it's because they're so sad they can't do the things that they used to do, or they can't wear the clothes that they used to wear. So it might actually be a deeper psychology than just, I don't look so good anymore. Because I think maybe these people, they actually need a little more support from their support system. So like Hui mentioned, she had a very good support system, and that really helps. So if a person is not feeling too happy about her pregnancy or her postpartum, post-delivery stage, about how she looks, then I think the support system comes in. The husband or the friends, the mom, the in-laws or whatever, everybody around that person should actually play a role in trying to make sure that this person doesn't go, you know, doesn't get depressed, doesn't feel so bad about herself.
Yeah.
And finally, what would both your advice be to pregnant women or to new moms who are uncertain about exercise and fitness, who are feeling, as you put it, Hui, daunted?
Yeah. Maybe write an email to me. I can take you on a walk and I can take you on a hike or something, you know, because I think there is a value, especially for women. If you have other women come alongside you who have gone through the same thing before, and if you just have someone to talk it through with, I think that helps break down the initial fear. So I don't know if I can share, but my email is hui@ashbynimble.com. So feel free to write to me and we can, you know, figure out what we can do. Maybe just go for a walk together or something. And I do also have a big write up on my experience trying to stay fit throughout pregnancy, and then maybe I'll write a bit more on what I'm trying to do right now, so you can, you know, see what I've been testing out with for fitness postpartum as well. You can go to ashbynimble.com and on the blog post I've written a whole bunch of stuff there as well. But I would say, you know, do it for yourself and do it for your baby. I think that my baby really enjoys being outdoors, and she likes moving around because maybe I was moving around a bit too much during pregnancy. And yes, you know, find other pregnant mothers and friends and go out and do something with them.
Yep, definitely. I think what she says is really true. talk to someone if you're in doubt. If you have any questions, don't just sit there and worry about all these questions. Actually go and seek answers, find out more. I think what's very important, if you do your own research and not just listen to, like what you said, unsolicited advice, I think there is some sort of a connection with you and your pregnancy if you actually study it yourself and you do your own research and learn about what's good for you and what's not good for you, and then you learn to appreciate the whole journey even more. And at the end of the day, you are building a new life, and I think that is something to feel very happy about.
Yeah, I think if anything, you know, learn to love your body as well. I really struggled coming to terms with my big pregnant belly, and then even post-delivery, you know, my brother's like, hey, how come your belly's still so big? And I'm like, he's a bit younger, so he doesn't really, you know, he probably hasn't had many pregnant friends. But, you know, when you recognize how much your body goes through, the amazing thing that it does in creating and sustaining life, then I think that helps you appreciate, you know, helps me appreciate my little soft belly a bit more now. And you know, you are just a bit more amazed at what your body is capable of doing.
Thank you both very much for coming in. I've been speaking with Karen Sia and Hui Matthews. Together we've been talking about fitness during pregnancy. You've been listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.